But at the same time, in Buddhism we say there's no compulsion. Buddhism always says, come and see for yourself. It's rather remarkable that in Pali, the Dhamma, that's to say the Buddha's teaching, is called Ehi Pasiko Dhamma. The teaching which says Ehi, which means come, Pasiko, which means see. Come and see for yourself. Don't accept on trust. Don't believe just because the Buddha tells you. Don't believe because I tell you. Believe because you understand, experience, and verify for yourself. Only for that reason. In one of the most remarkable passages in the scriptures, the Buddha says to his followers, O monks, don't accept anything out of respect for me. He says, just as gold is tested in the fire, so test my words in the fire of your own spiritual experience. This is one of the reasons why, at least, we find in Buddhism a complete and a perfect tolerance. Buddhism says everybody must find out the truth for himself or herself. Everybody must find their own path. You can't force anybody else to follow your own path. You must allow others the same freedom that you claim for yourself. Freedom to grow, freedom to develop spiritually in their own way. So therefore we find when Buddhists are in a majority in any country, they don't try to compel the followers of the minority religions to become Buddhists. They provide them with all facilities for the following of their own faiths. Some of you might know that Thailand is a Buddhist country. In Thailand, of course, the majority of people are Buddhists, but the king has the title of protector of all religions. In this country, of course, the queen has the title of defender of the faith, which goes back to Henry VIII. But when he was given that title by the Pope, faith meant the Catholic faith. They, of course, changed the faith from Catholic to, or at least Roman Catholic to Anglican, but the king or the queen still has that same title. But they're the defender only of one faith, not of the others. But in Thailand, a Buddhist country, is different. The king is the protector of all faiths. So on any public occasion, when the king makes presents to the Buddhist monks, they of course get the lion's share because there are more of them, but presents and offerings are also made to the Christians, to the Hindus, and the followers of the other faith. Not that the king believes in them all or follows them all, he's a Buddhist. But he recognizes that he's king of the whole people. So the same respect that he shows to the Buddhists, to the Buddhist monks, he shows also to the representatives of other religions on public occasions. And this is the sort of spirit of Buddhists everywhere. And that's why we find in Buddhism no religious wars, no persecution, no crusade, no inquisition. These things are not found in Buddhist history at all. Not even criticism, much less still abuse of other religions. I remember when I was in Kalimpong in northeastern India, I came to know a lot of Tibetan Buddhists, especially many refugees coming freshly down from Tibet. And some of them, after coming down, or go to the bazaar and hear Christian missionaries preaching. So when they used to hear them preach, they'd be very, very shocked. Some of them used to come to me and say, what do you think we heard? We couldn't believe our ears. There was a missionary, Christian missionary, in the bazaar, in the marketplace, and he was abusing Buddhism. He's a religious person. They say he's supposed to be a padre, a priest, but he's actually abusing another religion. For them, this is something unthinkable. There's a rather humorous story in this connection, which I told in a meeting the other day. One of my Tibetan students came to me one afternoon and said, I've made a great discovery. So I asked him, what is that discovery? He said, you know, I didn't realize it before, but Christianity and communism are the same thing. So I said, what? The same thing? How do you make that out? He said, well, I've just been along to the bazaar, and I've heard one of the Christian missionaries. And he was abusing and attacking Buddhism, saying that what is this worship of images and bowing down to wood and stone and brass and all that sort of thing, and do they think that the image can help them, and when they pray to it, what can it do for them? It's just wood, it's just stone, and the monks are all parasites living on the fat of the land, and they should be made to work, so on and so forth. He said, when I was in Lhasa, he said, I used to go to communist meetings, they said exactly the same thing. The very words were the same. He said, so it's quite clear, Christianity and communism are the same. So, this should give one much food for thought when one goes about trying to proselytize in this way. When I came back to this country, I was happy to discover, among other things, that that sort of attitude is becoming very, very rare. And some clergy, especially Anglican clergy, to whom I related these incidents, were very, very sorry to think that there could be, even now, in the middle of the 20th century, some Christian missionaries who are trying to recommend their faith by running down the faith of other people. This seems to be quite out of date. But unfortunately, here and there in the world, in places like India, you do get missionaries still adopting this sort of attitude and speaking in this way. And one really can't imagine, unless one has had contact with Tibetan Buddhists, how much it shocks them to hear the follower of one religion running down another. It isn't that they're Buddhist and they don't like to be run down by a Christian missionary. If they heard even a Buddhist speaking in the same way about some other religion, they feel it equally deeply. So this is something which the Tibetan Buddhist mind, in fact, the Buddhist mind in general, can't understand. You may disagree with someone. You may think him completely wrong. But you should at the same time treat his ideas with respect. If you argue, argue courteously. Without heat, now politely, coolly, just try to convince him of your point of view. But don't abuse, don't criticize in a bad spirit. So this is the sort of attitude of Buddhism. And that's why, as I've said, in Buddhism we have had no religious wars, no persecution, no Spanish Inquisition, no index, or anything of that sort. Always perfect freedom of religion, perfect tolerance, and always an effort to understand the point of view of the followers of other religions. That, of course, brings us back to the point that we started from, so we've come, as it were, full circle. As I've already made clear, I think, Buddhism originated in India. It died out there for various reasons I won't go into now, after 1,500 years of history, but it's now extant all over the East, and is very quickly, it seems, spreading to the West. There are Buddhist movements in most of the European countries, in Germany and France, Hungary, Holland, Finland, Austria, and perhaps biggest movement of all so far, here in this country. Here, of course, the movement is centered more or less upon London, where we have not only this place, the Hampstead Buddhist Vihara, and its Sangha Trust and Sangha Association, but also the Buddhist Society at Eccleston Square, which is the oldest and probably the best known Buddhist organization in the West as a whole. Since my return to this country, I have been very much impressed by the interest which is being shown in Buddhism. I get invitations from all over the place. One week I may be lecturing up in Glasgow, another week of course at Bristol, and then a few days later up at Oxford or Cambridge, and then of course all the time regularly here in London. So it's very encouraging to see this sort of awakening of interest. Not that we expect everybody to become Buddhists, but at least we do expect, or we do hope, that as this world gets smaller and smaller, even those who are Christians will take interest in Buddhism and Hinduism, just as we hope those who are Buddhists will take interest in Christianity and in other faiths also. In this way, we come to appreciate different points of view and to broaden our own minds. In other words, really to educate ourselves in the true sense. Not to be frogs in the well, but to be people with broad and liberal, truly Catholic outlooks and attitudes. So this is, I believe, the spirit in which you've all come along this afternoon, and I hope that this visit to a Buddhist vihara and this experience of listening to a talk on Buddhism has been of some use and some help and some value. I think we probably have a few minutes left. If there are any questions you'd like to ask, anything not quite clear, then perhaps we could deal with them for a little while.